invite at least one House member for voting purposes.
The Legislative Commission on Pensions and Retirement will come to order. Members, as kind of predicted, there's these odds and ends that keep popping up, and so that's the intent of this meeting. Once we called the meeting, more odds and ends showed up. So, we'll hopefully be out of here by noon today, and some of this, the second half of this, all this stuff under 8, are items that either the House or the Senate have already added to their pension bills, and so that's just by way of review. The commission sat there and went, that is terrible. Get that out of there. I think the authors should consider that. But I don't think there's anything on that list that's that exciting. So let's just work through these pretty quickly here. Senate File 2831, Tomasoni, 2784, Rukavina. Mr. Martin. This is a new item.
Yes, members, this bill relates to volunteer fire plans. The state for close to 20 years now has provided the reimbursement of a supplemental benefit, and the volunteer fire plan provides an extra 10% on lump sum service pensions, and that's reimbursed by the state of Minnesota. The proposed bill here is to for survivors of deceased firefighters to increase that supplemental benefit to 20%. The current cap on the current reimbursement is $1,000 per firefighter, and this would increase the cap, would also double the cap for survivors to $2,000. In discussions with Representative Rukavina, it's my understanding that the bill as drafted does not exactly cover the constituent problem that generated this bill. There is a firefighter in Representative Rukavina's, Senator Tomasoni's district, who shortly after becoming a deferred member, before actually drawing his service pension, unfortunately died, and this is intended to cover his surviving spouse also. So there is an amendment that we have for you.
Take a look at the A1 here. Okay. Discussion of the bill in general.
Send some copies to the office table.
And then we'll come to the amendment after. Let's discuss the bill in general.
Mr. Chair, if I could just quickly say, Mr. Martin kind of summed it up with we had a 48-year-old firefighter over 20
No, you're on
years.
The amendment now, right? Just wait on the amendment. Let's just talk about the bill
this
first.
This is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
And what happened is he had retired from the fire department after, I think, 23 years of service or whatever. 48 years old, found out he had cancer, died right away, left a 41-year-old widow, 3 children, 9th grader, the youngest, and one person in college, one other child in college and one in high school. They asked me, the fire department, gee, this is really a sad situation, and is there any way that we can help her because the family's hurting financially? When she cashes that pension. So I called Niles up, and Niles suggested we do it this way, although we found out, Mr. Chair, if I could just quickly address the amendment, that he had already retired before this happened. So that's all the amendment's attempting to do. But Mr. Zickman came up with this idea to up the what now is used to pay part of the tax on these benefits when they're cash. So with that, Mr. Chair, I don't know if Niles wants to say anything.
Mr. Zickman, anything to add?
Mr. Chairman, members, Niles Zickman representing MERAC, the Relief Association Coalition. When Representative Rukavina contacted me earlier this summer about this, there was generally some discussion about just upping this benefit across the board. The state of Minnesota has an open appropriation. I believe it's somewhere between $400,000 and $500,000 a biennium that goes to pay this supplemental benefit. There's no way to measure any year how many volunteer firefighters are going to retire. That's why it stays an open appropriation. I had suggested that if you're going to do this, he crafted very tightly and just confine it, I guess, to widows of deceased or active members. My experience in going around the state, this might add another 4 to 6 people a year might fall into this category, so you might have a consequence of $4,000 to $6,000 in a $500,000 biennial budget. I would think it's an adequate resolution to help the folks in the rural area. Those pensions are primarily the only means of compensation to those volunteers. They're typically somewhere between $20,000 and $40,000 lump sum after 20 years of service. So I think this is a modest benefit that's well deserved and deserving of your consideration. Thank you.
Is this not related to duty at all? It's just, it's a survivor benefit regardless of the reason for.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. The individual had already served the duty. The lump sum benefit and the supplemental benefit are going to be paid, and this just adds a bit more to the supplemental to help defer some of the tax consequences.
Smith moves the A1. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed.
Aye.
Motion adopted. Well, how do you want to handle this? We've already been through the finance committee.
In the Senate, not in the House.
Oh, you have not been through the finance committee in the House yet?
No, we haven't.
Ways and means.
Do you want to talk about in the finance committee of the House, or the Ways and Means Committee of the House?
By way of an amendment?
Yes.
I'd be willing to bring it forward, I suppose.
Okay, why don't we, Smith moves that Senate file 2831-2784 be recommended for consideration in the omnibus bill, and that the intent of that is that he will bring it forward as part of the bill in the House Ways and Means Committee and see if they haven't, if they believe there's enough revenue for it at this point. The Senate's already been through that committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I sit on that committee, so I'll help.
So, Mr. What is the cost? Is this, is up
well,
to
Mr. Zickman said he thought it added maybe 4 to 6 people a year. Okay. So that's
$6,000.
$4,000 to $6,000 a year?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, correct, out of a $500,000 a biennium. It's a pretty modest impact.
I didn't hear that, Mr. Chairman. What?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Larson, the state annually appropriates $400,000 to $500,000 a biennium. Yep. There may be 3 to 6 people a year that this will impact. So 3 to 6 thousand out of that $500,000, less than 1%.
The impact is very negligible.
Very,
negative.
Very small.
All right.
And we crafted it to keep it negligible.
Okay. So the commission, so the Smith motion is to consider incorporation in the omnibus bill. Discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Aye. Motion adopted.
Thank you, members.
Thank you, gentlemen. 3264, 3616. Mr. Burke and Evelis Police Service.
Members, this bill would allow an individual, Mr. Tom Nelson, to receive service credit in the Parapolice and Fire Fund for approximately 14 months of service that the individual apparently provided to the Evelis. The city of Eveleth service that perhaps should have been covered by the Eveleth Police Relief Association. The Eveleth Police Relief Association consolidated into PERA Police and Fire in 1978. And unfortunately, PERA has minimal records relating to any service prior to that merger. The commission will need to try to determine the factual situation through testimony from Paris executive director, and perhaps someone from the city is here as well. What the bill as drafted does is it would allow the individual to obtain this service credit by making a full actuarial value payment. Now, there are also two other amendments that, depending upon the factual situation, the commission may wish to consider. The S-3264-1A amendment would allow the individual to obtain the service credit by making the employee contribution plus interest, and the city would pay the remainder of the full actuarial value. That's an approach the commission may wish to consider if it concludes that the city clearly caused harm here. The other amendment, the -2A amendment, would require full actuarial value. As this amendment is drafted, the individual would pay half and the city would pay half. If the commission wished to have some other splitting of that cost, it could do so through a verbal amendment. On page 5 of the memo, I outlined several reasons why the individual doesn't have service credit for this period. And I'll leave it to you to read those, only one of which, the fifth reason, would clearly justify having the commission conclude that the city was definitely in error here. That reason is that the if it is found that the Relief Association should have provided coverage for this period but did not. The other four are situations where through actions by the individual is lacking service credit. I would also point out in the attachments there is a letter from PARA dated September 2nd, 1982. This was about 4 years after the merger occurred. The individual had contacted PARA indicating he didn't have service credit for his for about 14 months. And PARA, in this letter, told him that if he paid the contributions that would have been made at the time, they would provide him with the service credit. Now, that whatever authority PARA was using here has long since expired, but it is something that the commission may wish to consider. The individual apparently did not follow up in this, did not make those contributions. So at this time, since it's many years later, the cost of the service credit is much higher, and there is some equity issue about whether the city, if the city did in fact cause some harm here, whether the city should cover the whole cost, given that the individual didn't take advantage of an opportunity many years ago that would have allowed this to be purchased for a minimal amount of money. With those comments, I turn it back to the chair.
Representative Atkins, what's the fact situation here?
Mr. Chair, first, if I might just introduce, this is Lieutenant Tom Nelson of the Invergrove Heights Police Department. Dick Nelson, formerly of the Minneapolis Police Department, retired. Between them, they bring 164 years of, and their family members, 164 years of police service here in Minnesota. The fact situation, and by the way, we are not here to bash the city of Eveleth. Everybody is very, very mindful of what a wonderful community that is. However, there was a, of that 164 years in this family, there was 14 months that Lieutenant Nelson spent as a junior officer in the city of Eveleth, during which period of time he was not made aware that, and it's understandable, there was a merger that was going on, there were lots of things that were going on in the city at the time, that he wasn't made aware that he was eligible for the pension and could be contributing to that. It does fall into the fifth item on page five, clearly. Mr. Nelson, by the way, in terms of the equity of the situation, Mr. Nelson started his quest in 1982 and has continued that through emails and letters and calls, trying to follow up on this ever since. And we understand that city folks are awfully busy. I was one myself for many years, and sometimes it's difficult, and these are complex issues to provide answers to. But Lieutenant Nelson has made every effort to try to follow up on this over the course of time. Was only recently aware that there was a legislative remedy, and he pursued it immediately. By the way, I send Senator Metzen's apologies for not being here as well. He had
we
every
know.
Intent, but is otherwise indisposed.
Okay, so is Eveleth here?
I believe so, and we have not, at least no one has contacted me from the city of Eveleth to oppose this.
City of Eveleth? Is someone from Eveleth here? City? Okay. Do we have any documentation that they agree that it is number five? That they do they believe it's their error?
Ms. Vanek, you know something about this?
Mr. Chair and members, Mary Vanek, PERA director. I have spoken to the current city administrator in Eveleth, and she was going to do some research but was unable to produce anything as of her last contact with me. Obviously, she was having a hard time coming up with any historians who may have been able to share whether or not there was a probationary period for which coverage wasn't allowed, but she couldn't produce any information for me. I do have copies of Lieutenant Nelson's check stubs, which clearly show that there were no deductions taken for retirement or Social Security during that period of time. And with respect to the letter from a para staff person in 1982, we didn't have any statute of limitations for purchasing past service at the time, but I don't know, based on my knowledge of our laws, that he would have really had the authority to offer that because Eveleth wasn't part of PERA at the time. So I think a legislative remedy would have been required whether it was earlier or now.
So what is the... if it is true that Eveleth made the mistake, what's the fair split here? The $35,000, 14 by the member and 21 by the employer?
Mr. Chair, yes, that would have been the contributions and the interest earned to date.
And which, Mr. Burke, which amendment accomplishes that?
Employee contributions plus interest is the 1A amendment, and the city would pay the remainder.
1A. Okay, Representative Atkins, does that work for you?
It does, okay. Mr. Chair.
So that, as I understand that, that would be a total of $35,095, $14,038 for the member. And the employer then pays $21,057.
That's okay.
Okay. All right, Smith moves the A1. Discussion, all in favor. I guess that's all we're dealing with. So Smith moves the A1 be incorporated,
Mr. Chairman,
for consideration in the omnibus.
Mr. Chairman, that would...
Oh, it goes on.
A1.
Okay, the A1 goes on to the bill.
Right.
So first, the amendment. Discussion, all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted. And then Representative Smith moves the amended bill be considered for incorporation.
Mr. Chair, just Ms. Vanek, now, do you bill the city then for that amount, and then they will pay it?
Mr. Chair and Senator Larson, yes. Once the member pays, we would contact the city for payment.
Could we get some, is there a way to find out if, I think we just want to make sure Eveleth knows this is happening, so if they have something to say, could we get some documentation from Eveleth that they understand the situation and are willing to pay their share? The other option is we could put a local approval clause on it. We'll decide that later. Why don't we just try to get some documentation before we finish this? Okay?
Mr. Chair, I'll contact them.
Do you want to put a local approval?
Mr. Chair, should we be sending them a letter from the commission that this was the action taken or what?
No, I think Ms. Vanek can handle that.
You do it? Okay, thank you.
Do you want to put a local approval clause on to... No? Okay. Okay. All right, on the Smith motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted.
Chair, members, thank
you. Appreciate it. Appreciate your service. Number four. Extension of Rule 90 is to a certain PERA general member pre-89 military service. Mr. Burke? Pardon?
On office here.
I know, but we're gonna get a couple of these items out of here first.